वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। Yesterday we were speaking about the faith of the devotees of Vrindavan and many devotees of Krishna, like the yajnik Brahmins' wives, or the faith of the cowherd boys in Krishna, and Krishna's ability to deliver them from all dangers. So we were saying that we also should hand over our mind to Krishna, so Krishna will deliver it very easily. But one step even before this kind of development of faith is also explained in scripture. There are three offenses which talk about faith: the fifth offense and the ninth and the tenth offenses. The scriptures explain, like in one of the prayers, the gopis are praying, and Rupa Goswami has written this wonderful prayer. My dear gopi, do not go to see Lord Govinda, who is beautifully playing on his flute, while his lips are shining by the beam of moonlight, when he is standing at the banks of the river Yamuna and playing sweetly on his flute. Do not go to see that Lord Govinda. Because if you go to see him, all your material desires will be finished. That's a wonderful prayer like this. So, the scriptures explain that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Sri Krishna. And just as you and I, we have our liking and dislikes, likes and dislikes, similarly, the Lord also has his likes and dislikes. The Lord wears a peacock feather. Can anyone give a reason why Krishna wears a peacock feather? He wears peacock feather because he likes. That's one reason. Because he is as much a person as you are or I am. He is a person. He wears the peacock feather. He plays on his flute. And he wears the kasturi tilakam. Tilak. And his body is bluish in complexion. And he wears a yellow color pitambar. So when scriptures describe these things, these are all the preferences of the Lord himself. He likes to dress himself like this. And every morning, when Krishna wakes up, Mother Yashoda dresses him, bathes him, dresses him with all kinds of very valuable jewelry and very costly garments, and prepares him ready for going to herd the cows. So Krishna goes with all the cowherd boyfriends, playing on his buffalo horn and bugles, then calling all the friends, then they all go for herding the cows. And they spend all day in the name of herding cows, they play variegated pastimes just for enjoyment. Sometimes they make a swing under a tree and play. Sometimes they imitate the birds, sometimes they imitate the frogs, sometimes they imitate the monkeys. Sometimes they are simply talking with one another. Sometimes Krishna dances for the pleasure of friends. Sometimes he dramatizes. Sometimes his friends make a mimicking sound. So they are simply exchanging pleasure with one another in each other's company. And when they come back in the evening, the gopis of Vrindavan are waiting with the arati plates, like Srimati Radharani, Lalita, Vishakha. They are waiting to receive Krishna. We are performing aarti. And Mother Yashoda is very anxiously waiting to receive Krishna. And in the evening Krishna returns with all the millions of cows. The cows are running back to home and their hooves are raising the dust cloud that practically covers the whole atmosphere, covering also Krishna's beautiful face. So with the dust covered face, with all the beautiful locks of hair hanging in front of his face, and beautiful Krishna returns back. Then Mother Yashoda receives him and bathes him again and dresses him very beautifully. While in the forest, his friends take a great joy in decorating Krishna with the minerals from Govardhan Hill, decorating his body. You must have seen how they decorate Radha Madhav, Radha Shyam Sundar. They decorate very beautifully with various minerals of mountain minerals and colors of Govardhan Hill. And they decorate him with various forest flowers. Forest flowers make Krishna so beautiful, far more beautiful than the ornaments. And the evening, night, not only evening and night, even sometimes during the day also, Krishna leaves the covered boys and he meets his gopi friends and he is with them. If you read the Ashtakaliya Leela, the Ashtaprahar Leela, at different times of the day, Krishna is with the gopas or with the gopis, like that. And morning and evening he is with his parents. So I was simply speaking this description, which is not unknown to you and me. We all have heard it 100 times. The question mark is, how much faith do we have in this reality presented by the Vaishnava Acharyas? How much faith do we have in this kind of reality, or in this kind of truth that is presented by the Vaishnava Acharyas? We have to be honest. We cannot deny that, because we don't have complete faith in this kind of absolute truth. Or in other words, we can say that we have a semi-faith or we have a partial faith in this kind of presentation of the absolute truth. We don't have the innocent faith in this reality. And we don't have that innocent faith because our vision is clouded by various so-called knowledge and understanding of the truth that we have gained by the conditioning that has happened to us before we came across devotees. Actually, Vaishnava philosophy demands that innocent and simple faith in this kind of reality. It is very easy to say this. If somebody has developed a firm faith in this truth, what I am talking now, and actually he, not for the sake of giving lectures, or not for the sake of speaking to others something, but when you are alone, when no one is with you, when you are alone, all to yourself, at that time when you are reading such a description, does it really touch your heart? Does it really move your heart? Does it really make any difference to you? So, if one has such innocent and pure faith, then for him, Radha and Krishna, the gopis of Vrindavan, gopas of Vrindavan, the cows, calves, the Chintamani Dham of Vrindavan, everything becomes a very tangible reality. Try to see how much the beauty of a woman in this world is a tangible reality for you. You will see that we have a firm faith that the so-called beauty of a beautiful woman in this world is a tangible reality, although it is simply a lump of flesh and bones. with the body which is filled with stool and urine, such a body. Although the gas that comes out of the body, the stool and urine that comes out of the body is not at all palatable, relishable by anyone. The 9 holes of any body of woman or man is emitting all horrible substances. But we have a firm faith that a woman's body can give us happiness. So as long as we are firmly rooted in this understanding that a woman's body can give happiness, we cannot develop faith in spiritual reality. Not possible. To the degree to which we have firm faith that this material, asat, can give me happiness, to that degree we cannot develop faith in spiritual reality. Why Shastras are so much emphasizing on celibacy? In the Vedic times, first one is given a celibate training. After the celibate training, then one is sent for grahasthasram, if one really wants to marry. And then one may go for vanaprastha and then sannyas. The reason why one has kept a celibate is that when one is a celibate and has not contacted a woman at any time, has always kept a distance from the woman, yajna vakya, he says there are 8 things about a man, how a man should keep away from woman. What to speak of, the last thing is the intercourse or uniting with the woman. But before that there are many things he says. One should not look at a woman lustfully. One should not dally with a woman. One should not talk in a place confidentially with a woman. One should not plan about sex life with a woman. So like that there are 8 things that he says. One should keep distance from a woman. If one can keep such an absolute distance from a woman with no contact, then one can remain innocent like a child. As innocent as a child. The contact with the woman makes one's mind complex and makes one cunning and makes one very diplomatic and political minded. For this woman cannot be blamed, but the contact between man and woman brings about such natures. That is why sometimes when grihasthas are working with the world, they have to use some amount of diplomacy to even survive in the world. Otherwise it's very difficult when we are living in the world. Contact with material world, contact with material objects, living in the midst of material objects brings about a particular kind of mindset by which one has to use diplomacy, one has to use cunning nature in order to survive and to get things done in the world. But when one is given the celibate training, even before marriage, then one's heart is pure and innocent and simple. It can accept the simple truths. It is said Prahlad, when he would go in front of the deity of the Lord, he would see the deity form of the Lord and he would immediately feel Krishna is standing here. And he had no problem in accepting Krishna is here. Like we had gone to Mayapur, Sridham Mayapur, we were in Mayapur Gurukul. So we went to see the Gurukul. So some of our boys were asking, you are seeing Sri Sri Radha Madhav, they were asking, where are Sri Sri Radha Madhav that you are always singing and glorifying? So the boys were saying, the Gurukul boys were saying, oh, they are standing right there, you didn't see them in the temple? And they were asking. And our boys were asking them, no, that is only a stone or it's made up of some wood or something. We are asking about actual Lord Krishna. They say, no, that is Sri Vigraha, they were saying. Sri Vigraha means it is non-different from the Lord. It is non-different. It is Sakshat Krishna, Radha and Krishna. So, because these children are pure from childhood and they are trained in that manner, they are able to see the Vigraha as non-different from Krishna. And because they are able to see like that, they are able to get tangible benefit from the deity forms of Krishna. And they are developing such love and affection for the deities and such faith in the Lord. Same way, we have been brainwashed and programmed right from our childhood to see everything in terms of matter, dead matter, atoms and molecules. Till we came across innocent Vaishnavas, we have simply seen everything as a conglomeration of atoms and molecules. And we thought that Any even living forms are simply collision of some molecules. Atoms and molecules are colliding with one another. That's how we have seen the truth. And we have seen emotions as secretion of chemicals. Nothing more than that. And we haven't given any value to the ethics and morals and purity and man and woman keeping distance between one another and all these things. So because of this, we have got a clouded consciousness, a skeptical consciousness, which practically doubts anything and everything. So this is the Einstein, in his writing, in one of his letters, Einstein wrote that at the end of his life, he said, after all this research, I saw, he said, that science cannot give any tangible understanding. That was his conclusion. He said, the vast volumes and volumes of research in science cannot give even an iota of reality, he said, which the mystical experience can give in a moment. So this is the writing of a very great scientist after all his research in the field of material science. So Einstein had mystical experience of spiritual reality, and he said the small iota of mystic reality, one moment of experience, can give a oceanic joy which volumes and volumes of scientific research on material science cannot give. So that is our plight. We have got a clouded consciousness. So when we hear this very sublime and simple truths of Vrindavan, it doesn't touch our heart. It may touch our intellect, and that intellect arouses suspicion in these truths. Is absolute truth so simple? Doesn't seem to be absolute truth. Maybe looks like some novel, or looks like some nice story, cooked up story. It looks like that. So we have to be honest with respect to this. Either you accept it or not accept it. Why hover in between? This is our problem in the path of spiritual life. It is said, even Buddha taught his followers, he says five things. One of the things he says is that the follower should have a firm faith in the preceptor or the person whom he is following, that this person is wise, he is not a fool, he is an intelligent person. And this person has seen the world, he has analyzed the world, he has seen the world. At last he has come to this conclusion, and he is practicing with full faith whatever he is doing, and he is certainly a far wiser person that I can follow his path. At the same time, one should also have a firm faith in the prayojana or the end result, whatever one's spiritual master is describing about the spiritual world. Whatever he is describing, one should have a very firm faith in that truth. Like for example, you know, in our Vaishnava lifestyle, in Vaishnava life, we describe what the spiritual world is, just like I described in the beginning now. So this is the description of the absolute truth given in all the scriptures. So we have to have faith in the person whom we are seeing, and we have to have faith in the spiritual reality that is describing. If somebody is Brahmavadi or Mayavadi, then he will put faith in his guru that the absolute truth is the impersonal light. Because Krishna says, he reveals to his direct followers or indirect followers according to their level of understanding. Ye tama prapadyante. So impersonalists want to see Krishna as impersonal, so Krishna reveals to them as impersonal God. And bhaktas want to see Krishna as a personal supreme, and Krishna reveals to them himself as personal. And it is not very difficult for God to do that. God can satisfy everyone. So when one takes guidance from a superior, then one has to completely accept the truth in toto, without any compromise. Only then one can benefit from taking shelter of a guru. It is said that by any amount of analysis of material elements one cannot understand the spiritual reality. Just like once a girl was sitting in a class and she asked Prabhupada that, Swamiji, why this material world is such a horrible place? Why sometimes we find that there is quarrel, there is hypocrisy, people are envious, people are lusty, greedy, and all these bad qualities are there in the material world. So Prabhupada told her, you may be beautiful, but your stool is not beautiful. In the same way, Prabhupada said, Krishna says, Bhumi rapo anulo vayukam manah buddhi reva chahankara iti yame bhinna prakriti rashtadha. Krishna says, these eight elements are my separated energy. Krishna says, they are my bhinname prakriti rashtadha. Bhinname means, bhinna means separated material energies. Me means mine, still they are mine. It is my energy, he says. Then he says, apreyam itastvanyam prakritim vidhi me param jivabhuta mahabahu yedam dharete jagat apareyam. Besides this apara shakti of the material world, prakritim vidhi me param, there is another prakriti, jivabhuta mahabahu yedam dharete jagat. He is saying that beyond this apara shakti, there is a para shakti, which is spiritual world. Parastasmattu bhava anyaha. Anyaha means there is another truth. Vyakta avyaktat sanatanaha. When this manifested and unmanifested material world, where there is pralaya and kalpa going on in unlimited times, or innumerable times, that world, yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu na vinashyati, he says. When all this world will be destroyed, that world will never be destroyed. So, in Bhagavad Gita, I can give a dozen slokas on this. How there is a spiritual reality beyond this creation, material world, which eternally exists, which is never destroyed when all this is destroyed. So there Krishna says, Prakritim Vidhi Me Param, that spiritual reality is also Me. Me means mine. And material world is says, Binna Me Prakritashtra, that is also mine. That means Krishna proclaims the material and spiritual reality to be his own. He is the possessor of these spiritual and material realities, Krishna says. And as Prabhupada told her, just like the stool of a person is not beautiful, although the person is beautiful. Similarly, Prabhupada compares the spiritual and material realities to fire and smoke. The fire is beneficial. Fire serves, but the smoke troubles. Similarly, we can see spiritual world is eternal reality, while the material world is like a smoke that only causes trouble to you. Like when the smoke enters the nose and eyes, you feel a burning sensation and you want to run away from that place. You don't like the smoke. When you have a firewood, firewood is wet, you put it in the furnace, it's not very pleasurable. But once the fire starts coming nicely, there is no smoke, then it can cook the food. So Prabhupada compared the spiritual reality to fire and material reality to smoke. Similarly, the material world is like a material cloud or a smoke. It causes suffering to all the living beings. The sufferings in the material world are a proof of the presence of spiritual world. Because the material world is giving so many petty pleasures which are temporary and flickering in nature, which are cheating us, which is actually a proof that there has to be a continuous, undistorted pleasure eternally existing elsewhere. Just like when you see mirage in a desert, that mirage gives you a clue that there must be fresh cooling waters that can satisfy our throat elsewhere existing. But here, what we are seeing is only a reflection, or what we are seeing is only imitation of that. When you see a counterfeit note, you develop faith in a real note. When you see counterfeit marble, or what do you call that? Imitation marble. Simply a sheet, which by taking a blade and cutting, it just peels off. Then you develop, there is a faith. So, the first step is to have faith in a spiritual reality that exists. If our mind is so skeptical, doubting everything, then you tell your mind, okay, don't believe in anything. Now you tell what you believe in. If you ask your mind will say, I believe in nothing except the sexual pleasure. That's what your mind will tell you. Except this, I don't have faith in anything. That's what Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Asatyam apratishtamte jagadahuranishwaram aparaspara sambhutam kimanyat kamahaitukam. He is saying such people will say there is no truth or God in control. There is no apratishtante. This world has no foundation. And what is the only truth I believe in? Kamahaitukam. Simply man, woman, enjoying together. That's the only truth you believe in. Which is the truth which animals also believe in. And animals can do that better than human beings. So this is the only thing we have faith in this world, because we want to gratify our senses. So either we can live like animals and have faith in sense pleasures of this world, or by abstaining from the sense pleasures, by elevating our vision, and developing faith in the spiritual master and in the scriptural truths about the spiritual world, one can develop faith. That is why I was talking about the innocent faith in the beginning. When you are reading the scriptures, they have to churn our heart. They have to bring about a great transformation of heart for us when we read the truths. Prabhupada is telling, it's not that a devotee is blind in accepting the truths. Okay, anything scripture says, I have to immediately accept it and close my eyes and accept. Certainly a devotee has brain, and a devotee also uses logic, reason, thinking ability. But Prabhupada said how the devotee's mind works and how a non-devotee's mind works. Prabhupada said that. Once in one of his conversations he said, when the cobbler who was sitting under the tree was interrogated by Narada Muni, how do you have faith that Lord Narayana can put elephants into the hole of a needle? So immediately the cobbler said, just see the small seed. Inside the seed Lord Narayana has put a huge tree. If Lord can put a huge tree inside the small seed, naturally Lord can put elephant into the eye of a needle. So Prabhupada says, in this way a devotee has firm faith in the inconceivability of the Lord and his creation. Now a scientist is also seeing the seed, isn't it? There are so many scientists seeing the seed. Why does this thought not strike their mind? But Prabhupada says, because he's a rascal. Prabhupada says in one of his conversations, because although God has done miraculous things, still this fellow will not develop faith in him because he thinks he is bigger than God. Because he is caught in the whirlpool of sense gratification, he cannot see. It is not possible. He doesn't have the sight to see. But a devotee should have at least this much of sukriti. Two things. One is, you should have become free from sin, and you should have committed at least this much punya in your previous lifetimes, that you will develop this kind of faith. Krishna says that verse. Repeat this verse. Yesham santagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante maam dridavrata. So in this verse Krishna says, yesham tu antagatam papam, if one has completely finished all their sinful activities, janana punya karmana, and if they have accumulated lot of spiritual credits, te dvandva moha nirmukta, they become free from dvandva, means the dualities of the world, sukha, dukkha, shita, ushna, man, apaman, they become free from all this dvandva, and they become free from the moha also. So either you should be such a pious person, free from sin, bhajante maam dhravrata, with full determination they will have faith in everything about Krishna. You have to be in that category. Like this cobbler certainly must have done something in the past owing to which you may wonder why he got a cobbler's body. That is because he must have been a devotee, but he has done some sinful activity due to which he fell into a cobbler's body, but his bhakti is still there. The bhakti, because of that he is able to develop such a faith, innocent faith, that this seed contains so many banyan trees. Same way Lord Narayana can put elephant into the hole of a needle. He develops his faith. So you should have such a faith by based on this Yeshantu Antakatam Papam principle. If we don't have faith like that, if we understand that I am too skeptical and I am too doubtful about everything. In Bible there is a character called Doubting Thomas. This Doubting Thomas cannot put faith in Jesus. That is his problem. And Jesus always scolded him as Doubting Thomas. He would doubt every small thing. And such doubting people, Krishna says, Samshayatma Vinashyati. That is the destination. Vinashyati is the destination. Nayam Lokos Dinaparo Nasukam Samshayatmanaha. Such a Samshayatma neither has happiness in this world nor happiness in the next. For example, if we didn't become semi-devotees, at least we will be delighting in illusory enjoyment. Isn't it? Because in darkness you can enjoy things which are actually not pleasure. One can imagine that they give you pleasure. Simply enjoy a sack made up of flesh and bones and you can think you are enjoying in darkness. But when one knows the reality for what it is and one has developed some faith, then you cannot enjoy illusory pleasure also. Like all of your devotees now illusory pleasures are finished for you now. You go out and try to enjoy, you cannot enjoy. Try to smoke, try to drink, and try to enjoy, you cannot enjoy. Why you can't enjoy? Because you have heard about what truth is and what falsity is. So you know that illusory enjoyment cannot give you enjoyment. It is cheating enjoyment. On the other hand, we don't have firm faith in the absolute truth. So we are unable to get tap happiness from there also. Because we don't have full faith there. So we are hanging in between. You understand? That's why that's called a Samshayatma. He says, Samshayatma Vinashyati. He says, Nayam Lokosti Naparo Nasukam Samshayatmanah. Such a person cannot be happy in the material pleasures, nor can he be happy in the spiritual pleasures. He says that. So this is of a Samshayatma. So if one has not fulfilled the criteria of Yeshamtu Antangata Papam formula, which means we have to be a great Punyavan. We must have done a lot of past credits in the past, that we are pure, innocent, plain, simple. We accept the truth as it is without any doubt. Are we ready? Are we qualified for that? If you are not qualified for that, then there is a second option given to us. That second option is not Samshayatma. You don't have to be Samshayatma necessarily. We develop firm faith in those who have that faith. So we can see the great Vaishnavas who are talking of such spiritual reality. What is their caliber? What is their quality of consciousness? What is the quality of life? So that is why it is said, Mahatsevam Dwaramahar Vimukte. Try to develop faith in something which you can see with your eyes. Like you are seeing, for example, I am seeing Radhanath Maharaj. So I am developing my faith based on seeing him. I can confidently say when I see him, certainly spiritual world exists. Certainly the gopis and the gopas and the cows and calves and beautiful Krishna, they all exist. Because this person's lifestyle is such that by seeing his life, by seeing his qualities, by seeing his nature, his characteristics, his sense control, his mind control and his love for others and the oceanic love that he has developed for every living being and the compassion that he has, and the sweetness that he has, and the kind of consciousness, and the faith that he has in the absolute truth. When I say these things, I can confidently say that absolute truth, what he is describing to me, has to be truth. When I say, now I cannot see Krishna, I cannot see Srimati Radharani, I cannot see the spiritual world, but when I see a personality like this, his honesty, his sincerity, his purity, his faith, and his ability to discriminate and discern between sat and asat clearly. He doesn't fall prey to illusion because he can clearly discriminate between what is true and what is false. I can see that. And there are many illusions which I was considering to be true before, and he has opened up way to reality for me. And he has clearly shown me that what I thought of to be great truth before is all simply illusion. Like acquiring a great degree, acquiring name and fame, acquiring wealth, all these things of the world which I considered to be once upon a time very great, he has shown that all these things will be wiped out by one stroke of time at the time of death. So he has not just spoken the truth to me, he has made the truth a tangible reality in my life. So he has given me experience of that reality. that yes, all these things are temporary and ephemeral, and there is no charm in chasing after the pleasures of this world. And he has given me the conviction to see that there is a spiritual reality beyond. So, when we see such personalities, like our own spiritual master and the other acharyas and Srila Prabhupada and his conviction and absolute truth and his clarity of speech about the understanding of the material world, what to speak of spiritual reality. Spiritual reality comes much later. See the clarity of his understanding about the material world, about the things that he talks about, the psychology of woman, psychology of man, and what life is all about, how people are foolish. So when we hear from the great acharyas, that has to invest the great faith in our heart, in these great acharyas. That is the very first thing. Acharya upasanam. Without acharya upasanam, there is no possibility of understanding any spiritual truth. That is simply a phantasmagoria. Without worshipping the spiritual master and the previous acharyas in our heart, and worshipping means developing a firm faith in them, which is very important. Vishrambena guru seva. Rupa Goswami says that. Then when you put faith in a person like that, you understand that my guru is a master. He is a master beyond the smoke of the material world. He is beyond the illusion of the material world. And he can speak the absolute truth. And whatever he speaks, accept. For example, Sarvam Bhattacharya. He was a very great impersonalist. And he was transformed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And later, once Pratapada asked the Sarvam Bhattacharya about Lord Chaitanya, who is this personality, sannyasi, whom I heard about, who is singing and chanting and dancing. And Sarvam Bhattacharya told him that this is Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has come in this form. And King Pratapada did not ask a second question. He immediately accepted. Yes, this is Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. He had no problem. Because he had seen Sarvam Bhattacharya for so many years. He had seen his greatness, his exalted position, his purity and everything. He was his guru. He could accept the truth. So when guru speaks the truth, and the disciple has no problem in accepting. Because the disciple has seen the Tattvadarshi, the guru, his exalted nature, his honesty. On the other hand, we are hearing so many truths from the scientists who are smoking on one hand and writing on the board, and who don't have any integrity or character, who are themselves indulging in all kinds of irregular activities. So how can you put faith in them, in the truth that they are talking about in Big Bang or Small Bang? So we have to ask ourselves, whom do we put faith in? And besides that, the scriptures explain that the absolute truth exists in the form of Krishna. But the absolute truth also exists in the feminine form of Srimati Radharani. So Srimati Radharani is the personification of love, compassion, mercy, and all these noble qualities. So the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi or Sita or Srimati Radharani, she attracts Krishna by her beauty and by her devotional qualities. And the same form, goddess of fortune, she attracts the living entities by her mercy and by her compassionate disposition. So, the feminine mercy and compassion is perceived by us from our mothers. Like all of us, we have drunk milk from our mother, we have grown from childhood, we have been raised from our childhood, completely bathed in the love and compassion of the mother. If somebody has got the mother's love, they can understand what is the meaning of love. If somebody has had the good fortune to be with the mother closely. So we all have experienced that, but this is just a temporary mother for 80 years or 100 years maximum. And that relationship is broken, although we don't want it to break. We all can see how much we love our mother and father. Certainly we love them very intimately. But we have to be separated. That is the way the material world is created. The Shastras say we are given this local mother and father because we have renounced our global mother and father. Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, or Sita Ram. These are the eternal father and mother that the scriptures are talking about. And if you don't want them, then you are given temporary situations. You are one temporary mother and father in one life. And you go to dog's body, you become puppy, then you have puppy mother, puppy father. Sorry, puppy is mother and father, isn't it? So, in every lifetime you are given temporary mothers and fathers, in every species. Sarva yonishu kaunteya murteya sambhavantya tasam brahma mahat yonir aham bija pradaha pita. I am the father of everyone in all the yonis, he says. I mean, for all the jivas in all the yonis. But still, because they have forgotten me, then Krishna gives temporary mother and father for them. And they can have a temporary relationship. Similarly, because the jiva wants to imitate Krishna, he wants to have mother and father, like Krishna is having Yashoda and Nanda. Krishna is having Yashoda and Nanda, then I will have my mother and father also, who will kiss me, embrace me, love me. So Krishna enjoys the vatsalaras. So I will have my own vatsalaras, independent program of vatsalaras in the material world. And Krishna is having Shrimati Radharani, I will also have Madhuri Ras. I will have a wife with whom I will reciprocate Madhuri Ras. Then let the wife come with her sakis and assist me in her service to me. Like that. And Krishna is enjoying friendly relationships with his friends. Then I will have my sakyaras with my business friends and my circles with whom I will go to club and enjoy. So the living entity simply wants to have an independent program to enjoy in this world, imitating Krishna. But our imitation program will be finished by one stroke of tsunami in this material world. Or if you have survived tsunami, then it will come in the form of death in the material world. And there is no glory in the independent program of the living entity. First of all, the material body he is having itself is an obnoxious body, horrible body, which keeps growing older and older, and one day it falls apart like a old shirt or torn cloth. So if you don't delight in the material emotions and material relationships and abstain from them and keeping ourselves a pure celibate, then we can very easily accept the absolute truth with a pure heart. It's possible. And the more we delve in false emotions, yesterday I was telling you, if you remember, you watch a movie. After watching movie, even after the bell rings, you go out to the door, still you are carrying the movie truth in your heart, isn't it? And you feel, I am like brother of hero, or I am with heroine, or I am with this character, that character, whichever character you liked very much. You just, for several hours or several days, you are a part of that movie, correct? Similarly, if you delight in material emotions, for example, you become a husband, you become a father, you become a child, you become an uncle, you become an aunt in this world, and you delve deeper in material emotions, the more you delight in them, you become part of that movie. That's the problem. You become very much a part of the material world movie. The more you get overly entwined, entangled in the tabernacle of material world, material emotions, we cannot accept the spiritual reality very easily. Of course, you can accept spiritual reality if you are in any of the two categories. If you are in the first category of Vyashant, Vantakatam, Papam, if you are pure, or if you have developed a firm faith in a pure devotee, you can accept. But if you don't have those two, on one hand, you are a very skeptical person. On the other hand, you are also delighting in worldly emotions, you simply become a samshayatma. You have no other way to escape from this world. You simply become a doubting soul. You doubt everything. You doubt everyone. You only have faith in simply eat, drink and be merry. That's the only thing, because it's immediate reality, you can see. That's the only thing. You have only faith in smoke. You have no faith in fire then. So we have to know, we don't have such punya from the past life. The very doubtful heart that we have, a skeptical heart we have, is a proof that we have not got a very high class background. Or if you have faith, firm faith in these spiritual realities, then you are very fortunate. If you have that firm faith in the truths which I am speaking today, you are very, very fortunate. That means you have done something in the past which you are continuing. Or you should have firm faith in a spiritual master, Vaishnava Guru, that whatever he is saying is true. There are many grihasthas who are also having wife, children, family. So you may wonder, are they not delighting in material emotions? Yes, they might have been delighting in material emotions, but they have a firm faith in a Vaishnava Guru. They have such a firm faith that whatever he says is true. They have an innocent faith in the spiritual reality. Krishna exists, Radharani exists, cows and calves exist, the land of Vrindavan exists, Yamuna exists, Govardhana exists. They have firm faith in that. Why? Because they have faith in the Guru. Or they have performed something in the past which they have the punya to put faith in that. So, but if we get into the material emotions and delight in them, then we lose the innocence, we lose the purity. We cannot become a Shraddhavan. We cannot have the kind of Shraddha. And Krishna says, Ashraddha Dhana Purusha Dharmasyasa Parantapa Aprapya Mam Nivartante. He says, Janma Mrityu Samsara Vartmani. He says, very simple verse, Ashraddha Dhana Purusha, those who don't have faith, Dharmasyasa Parantapa. In this Dharma, Bhagavata Dharma, what happens to them? Aprapya Mam. Without having attained me, aprapamam nivartante, they return back to this material world, he says. Mrityu samsara vatmani, in this material world. So, one has to come to a point where one has to decide, do I want to accept this or not accept this? So, we will be put in crossroads where you have to surrender, you have to accept the truths, or if you don't want to accept, you can delight in the material world. And you can struggle hard as much as you want. Manashashtani, Indriyani, Prakritisthani, Karshati. But if one develops a firm faith, I personally developed a firm faith in my spiritual life when I heard this information on substance and shadow. That is why I wrote that lesson in DOS. When I first read Prabhupada's book, SSR, Liquid Beauty Story, I read, it was like a lightning for me. There is substance and there is shadow. Spiritual world is substance and material world is shadow. There is a real note, there is counterfeit note. There is real beauty and counterfeit beauty. And that was one time, and another time I read Prabhupada's PQPA, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. There I read about Krishna teaching the gopis, and I was convinced immediately that spiritual world exists. Because I always used to wonder why the boys are teaching the girls, how there is so much beauty in this world. I was already convinced that there is beauty in this world. Everyone, whether it be a boy or a girl or a child or old man, there are people with beautiful nose, beautiful eyes, beautiful face cut, beautiful body. Nobody can deny that. Krishna says in 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that in this world there are definite opulences existing. Can any of us deny that beauty exists in this world? There is beauty. You can see that tangibly. Some people are outstandingly beautiful. Even when they rise early in the morning from their bed, without even taking a bath and putting fair and lovely and everything, still they are beautiful. Early morning they get up from their bed, their hairstyle is beautiful, their face is beautiful, their eyes are beautiful, their body is beautiful. There are people beautiful, man or woman, whoever it is. You cannot deny that fact. So Krishna says that opulence beauty which you see, that's a small fraction of my original beauty. So when Krishna is teaching the gopis, Prabhupada says, when Krishna teaches gopis, it's wonderful. When Krishna steals butter, it's wonderful. When we steal something in this world, we'll be put in the jail. And when you do you teasing, you'll be punished by the government. If you are in Arab countries. Isn't it? So, when I read this, I was very convinced. Yes, that's the spiritual truth. And what I initially accepted from Prabhupada, over a period of time I can see that as I abstain from delighting in material enjoyment, the more I progress in my spiritual life, I can clearly see that it is bringing me closer and closer and closer to the absolute truth. So, when I read the Bhogarati, you know this Bhogarati, which describes about how Srimati Radharani is cooking for Krishna, and all the covered boys in Krishna are eating. So, when I once heard this Bhogarati, then I understood this is real family. The spiritual family is the real family. And we have to enter into the spiritual world. So Radha and Krishna are persons, they are existing. And when we chant Hare Krishna, we are actually calling them. So call out the holy name personally. Don't call out the holy name impersonally. Calling out the holy name impersonally means simply just chanting blindly without any understanding of the holy name. What am I doing? You don't even know what is going on in the mouth. Sometimes People are so much, the whole mind is absorbed in material world. Whole mind is in some examination or competitive exam or family or some material enjoyment, while simply the mouth is like a machine, like a motor. Like that. Just like a machine. Like a motor going. Don't do that. Chanting the holy names personally is when you offer the prayers, offer them personally to Krishna. There is no time today. Maybe tomorrow I will talk. How we should take Krishna's instructions personally. When actually Krishna is not giving instruction for others. He is speaking for you. Every one of you. When he is saying any vachan. See, when Maya is offering allurements for all living beings, we think, oh, Maya is offering allurement for me only. She is calling me. She is calling me. She wants me. We think like that. We take it very personally. When Krishna is giving a vachan, I am telling you, my dear Arjuna, yedu sarvani karmani mayi sanyasya matparaha ananjena vayogena maam dhyayantu pasate tishamaham samudharta. I will personally deliver anyone who surrenders to me. And then we say, oh, that Krishna told for Arjuna, you know. That's not for me. Or he is told for the benefit of living entities. And you can ask, what about you, sir? Are you not a living entity? If Krishna spoke it for other living entities' benefit, are you not one of the living entities? So we have to take Krishna's instructions personally. Same way we should chant also Krishna's names very personally. We are chanting for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. So, let us decide today that let me develop firm faith in this absolute truth. Not just to do a half-hearted job in Krishna consciousness. Half-hearted job is no good thing. You cannot achieve anything tangibly. If you want to achieve tangibly, let us put faith in the Vaishnavas who are purely living a life and practicing and who have achieved that level of faith and realization. Harinam Prabhu ki, Hare Krishna Mahamantra ki. Let's offer our humble obeisances.